Welcome to the Onboarding Blueprint. This is a blueprint you can use to help get people up to speed fast in your team, or if you are in a new role or in a new job, for you to get up to speed really fast on a new team. There are four elements you got to take a look at. Let's jump right in. Number one is to understand the business. So when we're talking about understanding the business, one of the things you want to know, and by business, I just mean organization, right? You want to understand the nature of this organization, how they fulfill their mission in the world. What are their financial practices? What are their cultural elements? But really, we'll get to culture later. Right now, this is just business orientation. Now, if you're going from one kind of business to the same kind of business, you might have a leg up, of course, but one of the things you want to be careful of is just because it's the same kind of business doesn't mean they relate to the business in the same way. So you're looking for how they spend money, how they make money, what their business model is, some of those basic ingredients. That's probably the easiest one to get up to speed on because people can just tell you very straightforwardly and you can learn just by interviewing the right people. The second element is to build key relationships. So this is where you're looking at who are the key stakeholders in this organization. Do you have a board? Do you have peers that are lateral? Do you have external vendors that you have to be in contact with or external partners? Are there key multiple bosses? Do you have a large team below you? All those different people, you want to begin to identify and figure out who are the key people that I'm going to need to have collaborative alliances with in order to achieve the objectives that I know I have. So making sure you build those relationships is a pretty key one. That just comes with time, being intentional, reaching out to them, asking to meet with them, talk about things. And I'll give you a technique later that'll also build some more trust. So the third, and this is probably the one that gets overlooked the most, is to clarify expectations. Here's what I mean. When you come into a new organization, you are told, or in a new role, you are told, this is what we want you to do. And you will enter going, they told me they want me to do this, and so I'm going to do that. What you don't know is that when they use certain words, they don't mean the same things you mean. And so while it seems like it's really obvious and transparent and clear, it usually isn't. More often than not, what people say they want you to do and how you understand what they want you to do are not the same thing. What that means is you need to begin having a series of conversations over time as you continue to learn what they expect of you. Not only that, it's also very possible that the mandate for you shifts over time. So what you thought the role was actually wasn't. Now, if you're onboarding someone new, understand that about yourself, that if you've got a new team member, your expectations for them may be slightly moving target and you want to alert them to that. You want to say, look, we need to have ongoing conversations because my expectations are probably going to evolve. But if you're doing it with a boss, you want to say, hey, look, I want to make sure I'm really clear on the expectations here. It's not uncommon for the expectation to shift, not because they lied to you, but because they didn't know that it was going to change once you got there. Or maybe some market conditions changed and they didn't expect that. So that is about aligning expectations. Don't assume that you're clear on them. This happened to me when I entered a new role in a new organization. I entered and I went gangbusters going after things, and they had to like call a special meeting to say, look, man, you know, we were when we said we want you to do this, we didn't mean like that. So we wanted bold and fresh leadership, but you're kind of way out on the edge there and you're starting to scare people. So when they said bold, they meant one thing. When I heard bold, I meant another thing. Now, we were able to get it worked out. We got the expectations cleared up, but it was definitely tricky. So that's another big one that you want to get really used to. And the final one is, and this is often the hardest one, you want to become a student of culture. Culture is a really, really powerful thing. It's that whole thing below the surface, the rest of the iceberg. That is culture. And culture is not easy to spot, see, or understand. It takes time. So you want to be really patient. You want to be really curious. And you want to be asking the right questions and looking in some of the basic right categories or places. So let me walk you through what comprises culture in an organization, because that's a big amorphous vague term. I want to give you specific things that you can actually observe and note and determine what the culture actually is. So here they are. First one is language. Notice the language patterns they use. Their words are going to be unique and distinct to that organization. And you want to pay attention to and kind of flag, what are those words that keep coming up that maybe you don't hear in other organizations? You go, that's a different word. I need to pay attention to that. And then get really curious about, what does that word mean? What do they mean by that word? I know what I mean, but I wonder what they mean by it. And you can simply ask people directly, hey, I hear you guys use the word radical a lot or bold quite a lot. What does bold mean to you? What do you think bold means to the organization? And start getting them to reflect on, yeah, because most of them won't know it. It just sort of, culture is caught, not taught. It's like a little virus. And so you're trying to catch it. But you want to catch it as fast as possible because there are lots of cultural landmines that can be set off. I referenced in one of the training modules, a guy I helped do onboarding with came from a very big company, Amazon. He had done some really remarkable things at that company, came into another organization. And over the course of the time of his time working in this new organization, one of the things that happened was he missed some critical cultural cues that are super subtle, and it started to hurt his credibility. And this is the reason you want to be a cultural anthropologist, is because it's the thing that will determine whether or not you're seen as credible. Okay, so that's the big idea with culture. Second one is values. We talked quite a bit about values. You're wanting to get clear on both the values above the line and the values below the line. So you know what I mean by that? Those are the values that are on the wall, and those are the values that are hidden, that maybe they don't even know that they haven't named, but are very, very real nonetheless. And those were those cultural cues that you're going to be paying attention to. Look for what gets rewarded. What kind of behaviors get maybe punished or frowned upon? Those are indicators of what the values might be. How do they allocate money? How do they allocate time? Those are indicators of values, whether they say them or not. The next one is meetings. How do meetings function in the organization? I'll give you two examples. Are meetings places where real conflict is used to generate better decisions? Or are meetings used to finalize or kind of rubber stamp a decision that was already made outside the meeting? That's not uncommon, by the way. You can have, and it's not necessarily bad either. Some organizations do a lot of pre-socializing long before they ever get to the meeting. So by the time they're at the meeting, it's really clear what's happened. Now, you want to know which kind of meetings are you guys having, because that will determine how you're going to show up, how you're going to use the meeting. So that's a really powerful cultural element. Another one is recognition. Recognition is about how people get recognized or rewarded for the work that they're doing. What behaviors tend to be rewarded, but also how are people being recognized for their work? See, some organizations, they will only recognize teams, never an individual. In fact, it's inappropriate to do so. And so if you came from a culture where it was okay to talk about something you had done, that can be a cultural cue or a landmine that can set it off and go, look, we don't talk like that. And no one will tell you that. It'll just be like, they'll look at you and go, wow, I can't believe he's tooting his own horn like that. But there are other organizations that actually, if you don't talk about your contribution, your accomplishments directly, you'll start to lose credibility. Because they're like, what is he doing? He just shows up here and he talks about his team all the time. Has he contributed anything to this company? And so that's why you have to know, what is this? Is this kind of a team-based company or more of an individual achiever company? How does that work? How do you process that? Okay, and the last one is conflict. Pay attention to how conflict functions in an organization. I remember I interviewed at an ad agency in New York City when I back when I worked in advertising, and every single interview I had there, it was everybody said, this is one of these cultures where you have to fight to be heard and you will be confronted regularly. And if you can't stand up to being harshly confronted and heavily criticized your ideas, you won't fit here. You've got to be able to bring your A game in every meeting, and you've got to be able to stand up and fight. That's in contrast to another organization I served, which is the Mennonite Church. They tend to be very, very conflict averse. And the reason is they have a theology that says they are nonviolent. Now, that's beautiful, but the problem is the shadow side is they tend to have conflict go underneath, go underground. And so you never actually know who's against who or why or what just happened. And so you find out much later that you've offended lots of people and you just didn't know it. And also, you never actually resolve issues because it's inappropriate to go directly. Now, there are ways to get that handled in contexts like that. So this isn't about trying to change culture. It's about trying to understand and adapt to that culture. So there you go. Those are the four big elements of any kind of new organization you're going to enter into. You want to understand the business. Don't assume you know it. You want to make sure that you are building key relationships with stakeholders. You want to make sure that you are clarifying expectations. So over and over again, over a series of a period of time. And then you want to make sure that you are a student of the culture. Now, in the next video, I'm going to introduce you to the first tool that I recommend you use in order to help you do some of this work, right? So everything we're talking about is how do you get up to speed fast and get answers to all these questions as soon as you possibly can. In the next video, I'm going to show you a tool for how to do that deep dive research.